So we're starting this podcast again in 2016. I guess we can call season two? Nah, don't worry about it. On episode 24 of the Progress Bar podcast, Oculus Rift is available for pre-order. Tomb Raider is coming to PC, and our Game of the Year picks are 2015. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Koshi, and I'm the editor here at Progress Bar. Tonight, I'm joined by a friend and aspiring YouTuber, Jason, also known as Quinchy. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. Congratulations. Well, you're the second person. I'm so proud of you right now.
Perfect.
I'm a little insulted. You just cut me off, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Congratulations on season two.
Done one of these for a while, so it's like, do I start at episode one, but then I've got to be like, season two, ep one, take seven.
It's like what they do a rehash of like a TV show, and like, no, it's episode one, but you already know what it's about. It's like every Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. What, terrible?
Excuse me. No.
Movie podcast start.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that. What we start getting into, though, is the news of the week. I guess the big news to come out just today is that the Oculus Rift is available for pre-order. So the team over at Oculus have released the finalized pricing for the Oculus Rift VR, which is now available for the world to consume. Well, not the world. We have about 20 countries that are available, including Australia, New Zealand, Taiwan, and a bunch of Europe as well. They said that they're announcing the price to be $599, which... a lot of people seem to be on the steep side. And when you go to actually pay for it from other countries as well, the price actually hikes up. So people in Australia are going to be paying upwards of $1,100 just to actually get it in their hands. I guess, were you looking at picking one up previously to it being released?
I was actually genuinely excited to have one. Because for me, at least, VR wasn't a big deal. Like, I was like, yeah, whatever, that's fine. Seen it at PAX, I think, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beta bar, that's right, we're getting sponsors, baby. it's cool. It's a cool idea. And I was like, you know what, if it's a couple hundred bucks, $300 to $400, I was thinking, easy, I'm totally going to buy that. Yep. And the fact that it's $1,100 is insane. It's like, way to screw over your market. You get it. I get it. It's tough, but holy smokes. You want to sort of separate the haves from the haves not by an Oculus.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's going back to the PS3 days and when it was originally released. It's like, yeah, it'll cost $1,000 for the new consoles. Like, no, we can't buy that.
Yeah, and that was in the 90s.
I think it was more about 2005.
No, was it?
I think early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah. But even with inflation. Welcome to the finance podcast. It's insane. I honestly couldn't believe it. I saw it today and it shocked me. I've talked to my roommates about it and they were saying the exact same thing. We're going to pull in our money. We'll probably have to carpool in order to save our funds for this. But I reckon if the PlayStation if it's called that now, slash the Morpheus, which is a much better name.
Mm-hmm.
If they did that for $300 to $400, they'll crush Oculus.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know what their move is. I guess, you know, with the partnership previously, after getting the Kickstarter awards,
exactly.
Then they partnered with Facebook, which everyone was like, the fuck are you doing? Like, this is Facebook.
Is huge. Yeah,
which is huge. But people are so skeptical, like, because Facebook's never been notorious for respecting people's privacy.
Exactly right.
So it's like, how much is this going to be shared once you actually get one? And it's just the price that came out. They're originally speculating, and even a month before this got released, they were saying, oh, kind of US dollars, probably $300, $350, but that's probably like a ballpark estimate. And that's their Oculus team saying that. And that was a month ago. And they're like, almost double the price now? That's not really ballpark. That's like three continents over. Like, I didn't know you had a ballpark that big.
That's most of Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's going from something where I was probably definitely going to pick it up to something that, you know, it's something that I will have in 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, exactly right. It's one of those things where if your friend has one, expect to be over at your friend's place a lot.
And it's not something like the whole family can enjoy. Like, if you bought a $1,200 TV, it's like, oh, you got a big Christmas present or a big tax bonus. It's like, yeah, you go and buy a big TV and reward the family. You know, everyone can watch big-ass movies and play high-definition games and whatnot. But the Oculus, it's like, it's a single headset to escape the world,
pretty much. It's personal. It's a personal device. And unless somehow magically you can see it on the TV so everyone else can have a giggle at you, it's not going to work that way. Well, for that price, anyway.
Not for that price. Like, I mean, and like the specs that came out for it as well, like, you need a 970 at a graphics card to at least run the thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not that bad. Like, it's understandable. It's, like, cutting-edge technology, so you need the highest end specs to run the thing. But it needs, like, 4 USB ports, 3 of them being USB 3 ports. It's like,
that's,
I don't think my motherboard barely has that, and it's already been taken up by, like, two other devices.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, it's like, oh, you want to play Oculus? Well, take out your mouse, take out your keyboard. We don't need those anymore because we have an Oculus now, right?
Good luck to you, son. And you'd be like, oh, thank you very much.
Mm.
It's, I don't know, it's not very user-friendly in any way, shape, or form.
And, like, it comes with an Xbox One controller. I'm sorry, I have 3 of those.
Like, but this is different. This is an Oculus Xbox.
No, it's not. It doesn't even say Oculus on it. I'm like,
but it's implied on the box when you buy it. You're like, oh, wowee. It's a...
If maybe if it was a special edition or something, like, it might be okay. Yeah, a different
color or, like, some... If they made it stand out in any way, shape, or form. But from what I've seen, it's just a very pretty black box.
Yep.
With some very pretty black items in it.
And they're $80 here. It's like, oh, yeah, you go cut $100 off the price. And the shipping. Like, shipping itself is $130 US.
Which is... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous right from the get-go. It doesn't come with the haptic feedback touch, these Oculus Touch controllers, which apparently are must-have for the Oculus for to gameplay. Come out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to play Oculus games, then you've got to buy these touch controllers. I mean, I'm a big fan of haptic feedback in those... Oh, what are those immersion rig-type deals where you're kind of, like, running on the spot?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get one of those and put it on Oculus. I'm like, oh, man, that would be great to have, like, just in a corner of a room, you know, play games. But
if you can imagine
how much one of those things are going to cost now.
It's just... Yeah. I keep stuttering because my brain can't figure out how to express my
rage.
Disappointment. It's not even rage. It's just, you know when your parents are really mad at you because you've done something bad, and then they're so mad that they're just disappointed, and you're like, oh, God, and you want to die.
How do I deal with this? I can't.
Yeah, because my dad said that to me once, and I remember asking him to, like, whack me on the back of the head or something, because I was like, I just crave some sort of form of discipline. This is I'm disappointed in you, Oculus. I want to believe in you.
I just want to smack you over the back of the head and go, no.
Like, no, make it
the
make
price
it
is wrong,
US.
Bitch. No. So the package, I mean, it comes with this touch remote thing that allows you to
switch
between. It looks cool. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's like an Apple remote, nice and simplistic. It comes with a little audio headset to basically devoid you of any external interaction. It's like you put this thing on and then the world just goes away. Like, you only have Oculus. But
that
you also
sounds like a really creepy addiction. Like,
you
only have Oculus.
Have you seen Sword Art Online? Like, that's exactly what it is. That's the imaginary thing. You just lie in your bed.
It's less death.
With this,
hopefully.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You just lie in the bed, you put the headset on, and then you just kind of sit and look around. But now you're holding a controller, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And you don't say Link Start.
No, Link Start. or it's like it's getting to that point where you're wondering where the VR system will take, you know, will take off. Will it go into that sort of route? Will it go into more haptic feedback stuff? Is everyone, you know, 5 years time going to have one of those immersion rigs and things like that?
Yeah, I feel like it's sort of like with Back to the Future when, you know, Marty McFly is used at the arcade and he's shooting with the gun, and everyone's like, oh, you used your hands, like. Like, I think we'll crave that little bit more feedback or input, I should say, but a more challenging version of it, and to look around and to walk wherever you want to go.
You it'll need be those hard. Physical things to do that.
Yeah, this is a great opening.
Yeah.
However, we need more to keep us entertained.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to wait for the software to come out. The package comes with two games. It comes with Eve Valkyrie, which is a spaceship fighting game, and then
which is perfect,
which is great for it. Like, I'd really love to see something like Elite Dangerous on VR.
Oh, that has to come.
Like, it's guaranteed on Steam VR at the moment, but I don't know how it's getting ported to the Oculus or however it's going to do it. But that would be the best, I think, the best game for it.
Yes, most definitely. It'll be neat.
It'll be cool. And another one called Lucky's Tale, which I'm guessing is some kind of adventure story-based game. But I haven't
heard of that one.
No, it's one of those ones where it's like, you know, it's like Xbox releasing the Kinect, and you're hearing about three of these games that nobody's fucking heard of.
And what was the one with Peter Molyneux? It was Milo or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Where you get to raise a small boy in your TV.
Mm. It's like Nintendogs all over again.
Ooh. But with...
That's what we'll have. We'll have Oculus Dogs.
Oculus Dogs. And when you're really lonely, you just slap it onto your face, and you're like, I just want to see my golden retriever.
And you're like, you get the Oculus Touch, and like, there's like furry feeling.
It's like fur. You put your fur sort of cover over the top of it, and you're like,
And then you just go to sleep. That's how you do it every night.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really see it taking off for another year, maybe two, unless they realize that they dropped the price a lot. It is cutting edge technology.
Yes.
Which is why you have to pay a premium, but if no one's going to buy it, then there's no one who's going to develop for it, which means that people are going to switch to things like Morpheus and things like Samsung Gear, Steam VR, Google Cardboard, a lot of the cheaper options.
Vive, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, HTC Vive.
They've got a huge amount of competition here, and I feel like this is a... They may have been the first commercial release, however, that is so... Like, what they've played their cards, and I think everyone else has a great chance to undermine it, undercut it, and to produce maybe a similar, if not better quality, product for a cheaper price.
Well, I mean, maybe that is the case. Like, with Oculus, they may release this big version, and then they'll get the slim version in 2 years' time, and, oh, yeah, that ought to be, like, $400 because we found out how to make it cheaper, like, similar to previous consoles.
But who wants to wait 4 years when you can wait, like, a couple months for the next one to be released?
Yeah,
exactly. And hopefully be cheaper.
Hmm. Now, moving on to things that are at least a little bit happier for PC users, we have Rise of the Tomb Raider coming to PC in January. Thank God.
I know.
Thank for beta testing it for us console nerds. But it's PC's time to shine. Square Enix made a blog post detailing that after the successful launch on Xbox One and Xbox 360, Rise of the Tomb Raider is set for a quick release onto the PC platform. So the time release is set for the 28th of January, which is be the 29th in Australia, on the Steam store and the Windows 10 store for some reason. I don't know why they're putting it to Windows 10, but...
Just because. Great game.
You can still play it on Windows 7. It says in Steam that Windows 7 64-bit will work without any problems. And the specs to run it are fairly good, too. Like, you only need a GTX 650 or GT 650.
Yeah. And I was pleasantly surprised with that. I was like, I've got a pretty good machine because I recently bought one.
Mm.
But, like, even my old PC would have been able to run that.
Yeah. So 2 GB of VRAM and... If anything, it'll look as pretty as what the Xbox One version will, because it's equivalent, it's got a GTX 650 in it.
Exactly right. I can't explain to you how much I'm excited to play this.
The reboot was great, like, getting back on that old one, it was such a good game. And
I felt like a huge badass.
Yeah, well, we had a review go up on the Xbox version, I'm reading through it and going, damn, I want to play this game.
I know, and like, the thing I've heard is that there's not as much moida. Apparently, I'm turning that into some sort of moida.
Moida.
Murder.
Right.
So there's not as much murder porn.
All good. I like murder porn.
Well, look, there's only so many times I can slide down a waterfall and be speared by trees, like through the neck, before I start to firstly become desensitized to it.
Oh, yeah.
And then make a game out of it myself. It's really neat. I'm looking forward to being that maniacal murderer who somehow can't deal with the fact that she's killing all the time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it transitions a little bit better, because it was like that.
You kill
the
so
first
awkward.
Guy and she's like, oh my god, I'm the worst person ever.
Yeah,
and then she's like, all right, time to kill a room full of dudes.
Boom, boom, boom. And then she's like, eh.
Yeah.
And then, oh look, it's a ghost. Pew, 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 pew. Spoilers.
But it was still a very good game and a very good reboot to the series as well.
Mm.
And so hopefully it's good on the PC with Rise of the Tomb Raider as well.
Most definitely. I think I just want it to be the same strong female lead.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as long as they keep that vibe, I'm going to be happy as Larry.
And it's not all tits and ass.
Which it wasn't last time.
No, it wasn't last time.
It's great, yeah.
I'm hoping that they just keep that theme, where it's most just definitely. Like, she's just a chick, yeah. And she's a badass, and she's killing stuff.
And she likes to study all those rocks.
Yeah, all the rocks. It's like geological faces and things.
Hot. Oof. Mm.
Gets my blood running.
If you talk about the Trisaric? That's not it. That's not it. Some period within dinosaurs. Oh,
love it.
Sorry, I'm just going to fan myself for a moment.
Mm. Well, we don't have any information on the PS4 release other than it will be set to release 1 year after the Xbox releases. So Microsoft are keeping tight wraps on the fact that they want to keep it on Microsoft platforms as much as possible. So sorry, PS4 people, but nothing for you. Which is, I mean, it pisses me off because it sucks that some people who went and decided to spend $600 on a console can't play something that's been on Sony consoles for like 15 years.
I get it. I get the business. It's very smart. It's very clever.
Mm.
However, as a gamer, as someone that enjoys playing every game that I can, it just feels dirty.
Yeah, it does. So we just have to wait. And it's like, yeah, you can buy it on Xbox. But it's like, well, no, well, I want to buy it on PC. Oh, no, you just have to wait about 3 months. Why? Because we want to.
Because?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Neat. That's a good argument.
That's great. For about $59.99 US, which is what the price will be on Steam, as well as the Windows 10 store.
It's about 100 Australian.
Yeah, with the exchange rate being what it is. But I'm not going to get into that one.
No.
I mean, you can either do that, you can spend the $60 on a great game, or you could donate it to charity. Speaking of, we have a charity marathon going in the form of AGDQ, or Awesome Games Done Quick. This is a group of game breakers called speedrunners who provide a slew of entertainment by completing games as quick as possible using glitches, exploits, and basically just game knowledge. It's a week-long stream that all goes towards the Cancer Prevention Foundation. Each year it's a biannual event too. So each time they usually raise about $1 million for cancer prevention each time. So, I mean, head over to Twitch /ADGQ. I don't know the link.
Ah! Oh my goodness.
I don't know. Head over to gamesdonequick.com. You can see the schedule, watch your favorite games get broken. Like, you wouldn't believe. I was watching Outlast before. So if you played Outlast, you know there's a big badass dude who, like, crunches your face and he just kind of crouches and bobs underneath him and just runs past. Like, he's nobody.
Which is a mind-blowing experience to have, because you're like, you can do this? You always think it's just, like, a wall of death.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you feel like a cheeky mouse.
Yeah, and he's like, opens the door, jumps up through the door that gets him through to the wireframe of the level, jumps across two rooms over the top of them, and then gets to the end level of the game. You're like, oh, he finished the game in half an hour. What?
It's...
Or games like Final Fantasy that you've played, like, for days on end, and you've got, like, 200 hours to get to the last boss, and it's like, yeah, you can finish in about 3 hours. So, are you serious? Oh,
yeah, and you're like, that's neat.
I'm terrible at this game. So that goes for a week, and you can check them out over at gamesdonequick.com. They also have a summer variant, Summer Games Done Quick, which they do every 6 months, which is cool. And, yeah, entertainment.
And it's free. Support your charities.
Exactly, it's free. You can even claim it back on tax.
Wink. Wink.
So, those are the stories that we've kind of posted this week. If you'd like to read more about them, go over to progressbar.com.au or share your thoughts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/progressbarau. So, as we leave 2015 behind, we can look back and see what a year it was for some games. Some games changed our view on certain genres, and some left a bad taste in your mouth, like a morning after a 2 a.m. kebab.
We'd all like that to, garlic sauce.
Yeah, with garlic sauce. We'd like to cover a wide spectrum of games here at Progress Bar, so we've narrowed it down to a few categories that we'll be covering before we go over our top fives for 2015. So this year, I think it was definitely, in my view, the year of the indies. A lot of games that I viewed favourable more than others were titles that came from smaller developers, and I think it made a better product comparatively to games released by things like EA and Ubisoft and things like that. Do you feel the same way?
I honestly do. I feel like my top list is a very mixed bag, but I played a lot of indie games this year, or last year, I should say. It was refreshing because before I was never a huge indie person,
mm-hmm.
But this year kind of really it forced it onto me, and I was totally happy to
be
to
play upon.
Some. Oh, I didn't even. It was just fantastic.
Yep.
I just closed my eyes. Mm-hmm. It was so enjoyable. It was just this, I was smiling at, like, I would have never have played this game, but I heard so much hype about it, or I don't know, it was just wonderful. So, good work, 2015.
You son of a gun.
You did it.
You did some good things, you did some bad things.
But, which we'll talk about.
Which we'll talk about, because there are some very bad games.
Glorious. Gloriously disappointing.
I guess just, some of them are disappointing, and some of them are just boring. Like, just no substance. Like, oh, we'll just release the next game in the series. We did it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yay. Clap. What could we be talking about?
I don't know. Plenty of games.
Oh.
I guess we'll start it off with our What the Hell Were You Thinking award for most disappointing game. Now, we each have a few that we're kind of debating on as to what will be the most unsatisfying game of 2015. But Jason, do you want to go over your list first?
Yeah, I would love to. I think this is the way I interpreted it anyway. It was more like, it's not that they're bad games. It's just that I was, like my parents, sorely disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the top three that I chose, at least, was Evolve, Fallout 4, and Ooh. Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay, well, we've got two matches there.
Oh, we should be twins.
We've got Evolve, and I've got Evolve and Star Wars Battlefront. Both of them, it's just not living up to the hype.
Head shaky.
Yeah, just shake my head every time. Like, their online community just like went and died.
So good. Oh yeah, so good. Did you have a third?
Yes, I had two extras as well. So mine was Battlefield Hardline that came out. Just basically a clone of Battlefield 4 and Halo 5. Which is the...
Really?
Yes. I mean, multiplayer's fine. I like to try... With these games, I like to try to keep them separate, the single player and the multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
The multiplayer I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll just start with this one, with Halo 5. But the multiplayer I still really enjoy. I had some problems on launch, like big problems on launch.
It really did.
Getting its matchmaking and stuff, but... I mean, we criticized it enough, but they're never going to fix it. Master Chief Collection was the same thing.
That's what I was going to say, is like, do you think your expectation of 5 was going to be any different for connection-wise, given the fact that we were given a very strong inkling of how, was it 343 Studios?
Yes, 343 Industries.
Industries, my apologies. Mm. How they balls it up.
Yeah.
They really made a terrible mess of it, and it's... To me, it wasn't shocking. Halo 5 wasn't even on my radar.
No. Like, it was meant to be the big Xbox seller. You know, similarly the Master Chief Collection. Like, when it came out, people were like, oh my god, I need to buy an Xbox just for this. I want to relive all my Halo moments, my System Link moments in a garage when I was in high school.
Yeah, my LANs, my
CRT TV LANs. Yeah. we all did that stuff. If you're a Halo fan, you did that. And then, like, watch the parents at the out going, come on, Tom, fucking, you know, get your TV and go, oh, just one more game. Just
that's my chat. Is that your child voice?
Yeah, yeah. That's my child voice. Oh, yeah, man. We got this.
That's great. It's gross.
just
chill. But nearly finished.
With Master Chief Collection, I wasn't expecting it to die as much as it did. Like, the online community kind of died fairly quickly, which meant that I didn't have that much expectation for 5. And number 4's story was horrible. It's the worst in the series.
So it was very average.
It didn't give me the hope that I really wanted in Halo 5. But I was still disappointed.
But, like, you have to admit, if they put in, like, Nathan Fillion and it still tanks...
Yeah.
Like, that's like, huge nerd cred right there, is to bring in Nathan. I'm on a first-name basis with him.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So,
yeah.
To not... It just... I think the problem is that it's not the old Halo that we're used to. It's not what we grew up with. It's not... I feel like it's a new generation's Halo.
Yeah.
And we're just not going to dig it.
No. And, like, they're trying to add these new characters in. You spend half the game chasing Master Chief.
Mm.
And then when you reach him, it's like, oh, you're all right. Don't worry about it. And then, then they go and find Cortana, and she's come back. But then she's like, oh
she's you need mad. To help me.
She's, like, mad and stuff.
She's real mad.
You should come help. Oh, no, we probably shouldn't do that. Okay. Well, you can't leave now. We're going to leave. No, I can't let you do that. Well, we're going to leave. Okay.
That's the it. End.
That's,
the,
and then,
yeah, it is.
Wait
it
for
is.
Halo and 6, like, motherfuckers.
We should go.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, right, done. Bam.
Like, they just don't provide enough backstory, and they make them talk too much. You know, Halo was never about the talking. It was never about Master Chief talking.
No, it was about the shooting. It was about the feelings of being that epic soldier that you apparently are.
But instead, you get put into kill chamber after kill chamber after kill chamber after kill chamber. That's it. Just a room full of dudes, you kill all the dudes, and then you move to the next room, and you kill all the dudes, and then you move to the next room. That's it.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That I could, yeah, definitely. Attribute it to be Final Fantasy 13.
But with less lightning.
With less pink hair and more green armor with cracked faceplate.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's meant to be good armor. He fell from space, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, he fell from space. He's got it smashed up over, like, six different games, you know, with all the extra stuff that they've done. But no, one fucking Spartan punches him in the face and it cracks it.
But he's a tough dude. He's a rough mother trucker.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about anything.
Apparently, it doesn't affect his face at all. He can still see fine and... You know.
How annoying would that be, though, that giant crack? I have glasses, and I could not imagine having a crack in my glasses and just playing it off nonchalantly.
He's a super soldier, so he sees through it. His brain just is like, no, there's no crack there. Well, that's what it showed on the screen when I was playing. There's no crack.
Oh, no. my ambience. My
immersions.
My immersion, that's the word. Yeah. What the hell?
My immersions is wrecked.
Oh.
Worst
game, 2015.
Yeah.
Done. Next topic.
It's done. Well, what did you think of Evolve? Because, I mean, it just really didn't pick up very well. Like, it's the Titanfall of 2015, I think.
Okay, I feel like that's a mean thing to say, because I actually... I actually like Titanfall. I don't think Titanfall did well. Okay, I know it didn't do well. Yes. It was a terrible... what's the word? I guess it's just... It was a terrible
pile of mediocrity. Launch.
Yeah, it really was. There was a whole bunch of average about it.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of unique styles and concepts and, like, parkour and jetpacks and whatnot. And AI characters just running about, doing their thing.
Yep.
It made you feel like you were in an actual battlefield. But Evolve was just several kinds of beige. It was so bland. It was so average, especially after, like, I'm not a big marketing person. I don't really get sucked into that. But I was getting really excited for it. But the more marketing I saw, the more I was concerned.
Yes.
Because when it comes to a push like that, you're like, is it really something I want to look at? And by the end, I bought it. Because all my friends were going to buy it. And we're all going to play together. And we're all going to be monsters or hunters and, you know, kill each other and mock and tease like the ads tell us to.
Yep.
And it wasn't that.
No.
The progression was fracking painful. You had to, like, unlock one character after another, and you're not quite sure which character you're going to be, but maybe you know, because depending on what your friends choose, it's just... I hated being the monster.
Yeah.
I genuinely hated... I felt so alienated. I couldn't talk to anyone. I could do Jack. I had to run away until I got to level 3, and then I could go and be the Hulk that I want to be. But the DLC is outrageous. The costs were outrageous for skins, for fucking cosmetic things that were just so incredibly average.
Yeah.
and I bought one of them. I loved playing. I did, and I hate myself for it. I go to therapy now just because it's like, I bought DLC cosmetic items.
Like, I need more DLC.
I know, I'm on 6 pills of Valium just because... I shouldn't make fun of that, but like, I just can't believe how quickly it died.
Mm.
Even like after, because I
really slowed down fast.
Yeah, I'm sure you felt this way too, where you just kept lying to yourself, and you were like, it'll get better, and it just never did. Not once.
No, it just slowly died and went down into mediocrity. And I think it's weird how a lot of these games, definitely in my lists, they are multiplayer focused games.
They are, yeah. Well, I mean,
like we've got Evolve, you've got it's all online. Like, there's a single player ish kind of thing, isn't there?
Was there ish? Yeah, very very minute.
Yeah, like you can have the AI stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the AI was broken.
Why would you want to in the first place?
The monster just somewhere and then you just shot it until it's dead. It just wouldn't do anything. It would just glitch into a wall and you're like, well, this is fucked.
Like, oh, okay. GG, guys. Let's go home.
Yeah, let's get our upgrades. And I guess moving on to something else where it's all just focused on the online is something like Battlefield Hardline, where you copy it from Battlefield 4. A lot of people said it was like DLC. It was just a Cops and Robbers DLC for Battlefield 4.
But it wasn't even a good cops thing.
No.
It killed people. It was like, it would tell you to arrest people, but if you arrested people, you got more points to get better killing guns.
Yeah. You like, didn't get faster arresting things, you got better...
Yeah, it was like, have a better gun to arrest people with.
Hmm.
I might as well just stick with what I have.
The game modes don't make any sense either. It's like, all right, we're just going to... The flags are moving. They're actually cars. Okay, what do we do with the cars? Do we, drive them into the opponent's space? They filled it with explosives? Maybe we can blow them up and take out some terrorist base? No, you just drive around.
Oh.
And then what? No, you just drive around. Just make sure that they don't steal it from you.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, guys.
Guys, you don't know what fun is. It's We do.
By the way, we've got premium for Battlefield Hardline too. Don't worry.
Yay, EA.
Fuck. Fucking premium. When everyone's premium, nobody's premium. It's exactly what it is.
Well, yeah, that's kind of true, actually.
Quoting Incredibles right there.
I love the Incredibles.
It's so good.
So much.
2019, Incredibles 2.
I know. Oh, you have no idea.
See, I'm more excited about Incredibles 2 than I am about any of these games that we're talking about right now combined.
Let alone the refunds that we'll get when we return the games.
Yeah, exactly. Which would be like $2.50 because they're like, this shit.
It's one quarter portion.
Terrible.
Anyway, maybe we should talk about Star Wars Battlefront and the... Wait, I got it. The Hoth mess that it was. I actually came into this without any expectations whatsoever.
Did you play the battle?
No,
okay.
I was away. I don't even remember what I was doing, but I was away, and I was really bummed because my brother got to play it. Everyone that I knew was playing it, and I knew it was coming out soonish, so I wasn't too upset. And I came in just going like, oh, this will be fun. All my friends will be playing Star Wars Battlefront. We'll have a blast. And it'll just be fun. And to have, like, once again, I feel like a lot of the problems is the level progression. Is... They have these arbitrary kind of caps and cards, and I just want a fucking jetpack.
Yep. Why can't I have my Darth Vader every once in a while.
Yeah. I got to be a hero once, and I was so excited that I didn't know what to do, and I died very quickly.
Yeah.
It's... Sure, play Hero Hunt, but I don't want to play Hero Hunt. I want to muck about with, like... all these other assholes on the internet that just want to yell, kick and scream at each other, and the blasters didn't feel unique, which I know apparently in the lore they're not meant to because blasters don't have something or other, blah, blah, blah. I know, but lore doesn't make a good game.
No.
Lore makes a good universe.
Yes.
And so to have, like, very samey blasters and... But, like, the most powerful one you could get if you got, like, the premium.
If you pre-ordered it, you got something so much more powerful, like, you had to get to level 20 or something to
and getting it. To level 20 is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, because you get killed by other people, dickheads who pre-ordered it.
And that was me. That was my story.
Yeah.
It was... it was far less than average. I still play it. Yeah. But...
don't know why. Only,
it's just... I like to punish myself, really. Yeah, that's cool. That's all it is. I still play with my brother, and we just muck about and have a lot of fun and do Jabba the Hutt voices.
Oh, of course.
And that's how we make it a good time. But yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah, it's an interesting way that they've done it. They've done the premium as well because it's EA, so they have to put premium on everything now.
Yep, and everything gets a season pass.
Everything gets a season pass now. We're in the year of season pass. That'll probably be more for 2016, I'd say, but we never know.
Yeah, well, at least from what I'm hearing, they're going to release more maps that are free.
Yeah, but no one's playing anymore.
I know,
it's like Battlefield Hardline. There's more people playing Battlefield Skyrim. 4 than there are playing Hardline right now.
And that's terrifying.
And it's terrible. That's because Battlefield 4 is a better game.
Yeah, very much so.
Like, I enjoyed it a lot more. I mean, I can still enjoy it now. I don't really play Battlefield recently.
Yeah.
After Hardline, it kind of wrecked me, but it's one of those things where you just like... I don't want to go for the grind again. I don't want to level up all the guns and figure out which is better and
What side I want. And
Fucking terrible battle packs and whatnot. So what do you think? I think that the top two that we've got here are Evolve and Battlefront.
Star Wars, yeah.
Like, the other two are good to be bad, you know, in their own respective ways. I never really had good intentions for Halo, but it still disappointed me anyway.
I'd like to talk about Fallout 4.
Oh, right. That's right. I totally
forgot. I could.
Mm. So, this is a big one because a lot of people like this game.
No, they do. And look, I dig it. Mm-hmm. I've played like 70-something hours of it. Cool. So I've wasted a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares?
Yeah.
Seriously, who cares? It is fracking Fallout 3 all over again, except now I'm an Iceman. And my son's been taken, someone's killed my wife, but it's not that big a deal, because I can do that later. You've got bloody stupid village building that sucks.
Yep.
It's not, it doesn't serves
no
feel
purpose.
Right.
No purpose, except for a time sink.
And then you've got to set up trade routes, and you've got to, if you're with the Minutemen, how many bloody missions do you do where it's like, hey man, you've got to save this village from the raiders or from super mutants? I don't care.
And the best bit about those super mutants, like, oh, we've got a bandit camp that's invading us. They're really bothering us. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, I'll help them out. They're on the other side of the fucking map!
Yes, and you've got to, like, fast travel there, so you've got, like, a minute of just sitting there, twiddling your thumbs while looking at, like, the meth station that they've decided to render in very... it's a beautiful game.
It's pretty.
It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of visual issues with it when it comes to... I guess janky things like mugs floating in the air and physics issues. And
physics engine being tied to the frame rate of the game.
And I just want to say this. Just because it's a Bethesda game doesn't mean you should say, oh, it's just a Bethesda game. Yeah. That is the shittiest reason to ever validate a shitty game.
There was an interesting post that someone put on saying that... oh, I can't remember, I'm not going to name names, but there was an interesting post saying that they felt nostalgia of seeing the Bethesda bugs in the game.
But that's not a good thing. That's,
no, it's
that,
not. It's
that
terrible.
That ruins your immersion.
Yes.
That ruins any point of you going like, I'm in a wasteland. And mind you, Frozen Man, I'd be flipping out.
Yeah.
If I was like, okay, well, A, my wife has been killed. B, my child has been taken. Now I'm in the future where there's been a nuclear apocalypse and there are things called ghouls. I would be screaming.
Yeah.
In
and
a
the dude's
little
like,
ball.
I've been to war. This is
and
nothing.
He's like, Hey, how's it going? It's like, oh, hey, bystander, got these rebels. Why am I killing people?
Yeah. You are the captain or the general of the Minutemen. You've retaken this castle. Can you help out this farm?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, by the way, they're by robots.
So you can't even do the shitty Dragon Age Inquisition thing where you can't send dudes out to do that for you.
Yeah.
Either. If I, you know.
I came up with this, I had a chat with one of my roomies, and...
roomies?
I know. And we came up with a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, at least I like to think so.
Better than an entire dev team at Bethesda.
hear me, Bethesda.
Mm.
But all you need to do is, like, you can have the same thing, your wife is killed, your baby's taken, but if there was a big fuck-off fort that your baby was in,
yeah,
you have a goal. You exactly. you can't attack that fort all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to build up that army. You can either join the
unify the brotherhood. The states,
you can do this. You can be a Minuteman. Be the general that you're meant to be. Gain that army and attack.
Mm.
That would give you a goal. That would give you a reason to save settlements, to do anything in that game that it tells you to do. And it won't do it. It was so frustrating. It was just, I love Fallout, but I hate it at the same time.
Yeah. It's one of those games where one thing, or there'll be five things that are good, and it'll take five steps forward, and then it'll take four steps back. And you're like, the fuck is this?
It's Fallout 3.1.
Ooh. That's harsh.
It's harsh, but it's bloody well true.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's interesting. They do an interesting objective-style stuff, and where they have a objective that's really basic. Go find water, go find your dad, your kid's been taken, go find your kid.
Yeah.
And then they let you explore the world. And there's a lot in the Fallout world that you can do, but realistically, there's nothing that actually makes a difference. It's more about feeling out the experience of each of those individual items.
Exactly.
Rather than actually contributing to the full game.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
So yeah, I can easily see how you can be disappointed, but you listen to the music. I can be the wanderer.
The wanderer. I was like cursing that song.
Yeah,
it's
still stuck in my head. I think in the back of my recesses of my mind.
I am the wanderer.
It's so catchy.
It is. Damn their music.
Yeah, their music is good.
There are highs and lows to that game, and they're both extreme as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there's no good middle ground. The only middle ground is the stuff that gets made from the highs and lows, and you've just got to put something in the middle and go, yep, this is Fallout 4.
I did this. Yeah, exactly right.
And a big fuck-off tower somewhere that you throw.
At least you don't have to climb it.
No, exactly right.
That's nice.
So, I think...
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things, too, where it's tricky, because Fallout 4 kind of balances itself out to be mediocre, you know,
above-average
game. Battlefield Hardline... We never really expected much from anyway. Same with Halo.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Evolve was so hyped. It's like, so hyped up. Everyone was really looking forward to it. And
there was a big pressure to make it like the next big thing. It was meant to be like the next TF2 that you played with your friends on a Friday night because your date didn't take you, like, she stood you up.
Yeah.
not talking about drink experience. And play Evolve.
Yeah. Moments from Jason's life.
And then the Star Wars Battlefront, which is, I don't think I was personally looking forward to it. I was going to play it because everyone else is playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to jump the bandwagon here. For me personally, Evolve is by far the most disappointing.
Yeah, well, you're still playing one of them.
Yeah, you're because...
still playing Battlefront. I know you want to torture yourself, but it's not forgotten yet. It's still
no, most definitely not, but it's just because it's something I can play.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I think we will give it the What the Hell Were You Thinking Award for Most Disappointing Game. We'll give it to Evolve.
Yay.
Just shaking my head. Just shake.
Wait, I don't know why I'm applauding. Boo.
Yeah, just shake my head.
Boo. It wasn't an esports. Don't make it an esports.
Oh, God, I hate that. Year of the esports. Here we go. So, going on from the thing that we found most disappointing, it's actually something that actually surprised us. The Oh My God, What the Fuck Barbecue Award for Biggest Surprise. We got a few different things for this one. What did you have, Jason?
Okay, for me, I've got two.
Yep.
I'm very hard to whelm.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Splatoon.
Yep.
And secondly is Rocket League.
Yes. Okay.
And... how about yourself? Tell me your feelings.
So I've got a few because of just, I guess, the amount of games that did come out. A lot of them were from the indie developers, so I'd never heard about a company that released a game and they put this thing out and go, oh, what's this? It's like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah.
They just made their first big game that I've heard of. And the three that I have is Cities Skylines.
Yeah, good choice.
Also Rocket League.
Excellent choice.
Guitar Hero Live.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was, for me, we'll just start on that one, I guess. It was a good reboot to the series. I don't think it was the best game, and it had some flaws. But as I heard more about Guitar Hero Live, I was like, I haven't played a Guitar Hero game in ages. I really liked rocking out on the guitar, you know, playing hard and expert songs. And
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, of course. And, like, Dragon Force and failing in the first 3 seconds. Love it. But bringing this back, they say, oh, they changed the instrument and they've got better songs. They've got a wider variety of songs. I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard it before. And then they did release it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty cool.
It was solid. Mm. It was a solid release.
It was. And they changed the guitar. So now you've got 6 buttons instead of 5. It took some getting used to. But I think in the end, it pulled itself through. So you kind of feel like you're playing a 2-stringed instrument rather than a 1-stringed instrument, which is nice. Mm. And the song list was good, and it kept getting updated too. They had the Guitar Hero TV section it was like you had this kind of plays option where you could buy more plays, like they wanted you to spend money, but you could get by on just not playing it for a little while, which was really good. Like you level up and you get enough plays to
it was
to
nice.
Play more songs.
So
I think really good return to form for the series. I don't know what they'll do with it now. I was thinking maybe they'll just release DLC packs, but if they start beating the dead horse again, it's just going to go back down into the, you know.
Hopefully they're smart enough not to do that.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I feel like this is a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see, I guess. But at the moment, it's really surprised me to bring my enthusiasm back to the Guitar Hero series. So you see me rocking out, playing on some cool songs. The live audience kind of thing was kind of cool, I guess. It was a different element playing in front of real people, I guess, was the main thing.
Yeah. Most definitely. I can appreciate that surprise.
Yeah. Now, we'll quickly go over your first pick that wasn't Rocket League. What was it?
You don't remember?
No.
Oh, it's Splatoon.
Myself. Right. Yeah. Okay. So this is one I haven't played. So
speak I've only about played a little bit, Inky. But wow. It was just, holy smokes. Seriously. So visually, okay, let's face it. A new IP from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Do we trust Nintendo?
No.
Not necessarily.
No.
They've released a couple great games this year. Mm-hmm. What I loved was that it was fresh. It was lovely. The colors were vibrant. The art design was fantastic. The story was just so super dumb, but in a really fun, this is what happened to humanity. This is what we are now. You're a squid. You're a kid. And
I squid again.
Shiny and chrome. And so to have that fun, fresh idea and to have it so you're covering the base with paint, that's what you're doing. It's not about your KDs. It's about how much of the map you can cover.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It was such a fun, refreshing way to change a third-person shooter into just a fun game for everyone. Like you're playing a shooter. You're feeling you're just playing with friends. Even the guys that you don't know. It was just, you were a team and you knew what you were there for. And the transformations from squid to kid when you're like hiding under your own ink and you're recharging with that. It just had a lot of brilliance about it.
So it's the third person shooter. It's objective based.
Yep.
Based on the fact that you need to cover the, you know, the level,
the maps with ink. Your team's ink.
You've got all the different classes that specialize in a certain area. So you've got the guy with the roller, who's like can cover everything really, really fast, but he's really vulnerable. Like he's only got a melee attack and stuff, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah. So you know, but then you've got snipers who can pick off the other dudes and
or the paintbrush guys, which is similar to a roller. And there was a lot of, I think just the way they went about it was so refreshing.
Like, just not focusing on, as you said, on the KD. More focusing on...
Exactly right. Everything just
fucking objective.
But there was no weapon, apart from the sniper rifle, which was rubbish, which is better than another weapon. They all had their strengths and weaknesses.
Yep.
And it felt balanced. And they were constantly releasing new stuff earlier than what they were saying they would.
That's really cool.
That's neat.
That's unheard of from Nintendo.
Yeah, they put a little bit of humanity back in their company.
That's good. And I guess we'll go on to, what have I got here. Quickly before we jump into the big one that we both have, I was talking about City Skylines. So going off the release of SimCity in 2013, oh, I have to remember, 2013, I'm pretty sure
it was 13, yeah.
It basically was a flop. No one enjoyed it, and we kind of were left wanting, I guess, is wanting something better, like wanting this awesome city builder that didn't have any limits like SimCity and didn't have you restricted by a lot of different mechanics. So enter City Skylines, who basically brought in... Yes, there you go. They just released a game. It's a small indie game, kind of, I guess. So it doesn't cost too much money.
No, it's pretty cheap.
And it's completely offline. So you don't have to have this stupid login to Origin, DRM bullshit.
Yeah, you don't have to. And the towns aren't too small. No, and
you can expand them. Like, it's a 2x2 kilometer grid, but then you can expand it by 9 to, like, have this huge, sprawling city with, like, tens of hundreds of thousands of people, each in living their lives, and they're actually doing things rather than, like, 10 people all going into the same, like, house one day and then going to a different house another day.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, comparing it to SimCity isn't really... give it justice, I guess, because it is its own game. Like, it just works as a city builder, and that's the best part. Like, it doesn't falter anywhere that is really noticeable. And then the best part is they've released mods. Like, they're like, yeah, workshop content, go.
Yeah, it was totally supported by the community.
And it's $30 when it released.
Fantastic.
So, having all that go through and... it being so well received is just a huge surprise for me, because it's amazing what could be done and what is basically something that's changed the genre of city builders now. Like, I think this is the new standard. Like, it used to be like SimCity 2000 or something, like back in the day, SimCity 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's City Skylines, I think.
Very much so. It's become its own thing and a better thing.
Yeah, of course.
It's brilliant.
So, good work, Colossal Order. You are really cool making City Skylines.
10 points, Gryffindor.
Oh, God. Colossal Orderian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the big one, I guess, is a game that we've both put a lot of time into, which is Rocket League.
And, very much. Yeah.
You know, even for people who don't like sports games, like to play Rocket League. Like, personally, I've sunk 150 hours into it.
Holy smokes.
And that's from launch. So it's, you know, it's addictive. And it's the best part is the games are 5 minutes long, to a degree, like 6 or 7 minutes long based on overtime and whatnot. But, oh, man, this game.
It was just... who would have thought? Like, I honestly, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, it sounds like dumb fun. Cars with rockets and it's soccer.
Yeah.
Or football.
Football.
Yes. Football. And to just muck about and pull half the crazy shit that you did, it was so rewarding.
Uh-huh.
It just felt right. I loved it. Absolutely loved it because of that. It was brilliant. I just... I don't know how else to explain. Like, the customization, the DLC. Every time DLC came out, without even looking, because I'm rolling in those Benjamins,
yep.
I would just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to support the game.
Well, it's $3.
Yeah, exactly right. It's super cheap.
Yep.
Yeah.
But every other DLC I've bought, like all the Wasteland DLC and all that stuff, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. New cars and more customization.
Yeah, it was just the option to really personalize your own vehicle.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's so lovely to like, even if you play by yourself, it's not as much fun, but it's still a solid, fun game. Like, you're just messing about. And to play with friends and you're just ripping each other apart is brilliant. Like, when I play, I play with my brother, and every time we screw each other over, we're like, hey, Judas, what's happening, Judas? And it's just, like, it becomes, like, its own little game. It's like, how can we win, but how can we also, like, stab each other in the back?
Perfect.
It's just, it's the best game.
Hmm. So for it to come out of basically a soccer with cars, football with cars.
Football
with cars.
It's good.
It's amazing what they've done with it. Made it simple. They haven't dicked over the community with crap.
No, it's not overwhelming. It's
been so good, I think, to both the community and themselves. And it's just been surprising the way that it's just gelled and just pulled over the community with that way, like how they've
exactly.
done it.
Exactly. It's just everything that I didn't expect there to be was just there, and it was so lovely to play. It was a real gem.
Yeah.
So that's my big surprise. I'm not even going to wait. I'm just going to say it. It's out there.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty conclusive. We have Rocket League as our most surprising game to come out of 2015. Who would have thought putting rockets on cars and pushing a ball into a hole would be so fun?
But it's so worth it.
It's so worth it. Oh. So worth it. So, congratulations, Rocket League.
Yay.
You win nothing, but, you know, our gratitude. But our respect. Of course. Yeah, our many hours of gameplay. And our award.
You get a barbecue.
You get
a Weber. Yes,
you get, oh my god, what the fuck, BBQ award for the best.
Yay.
Yay. Back onto happiness.
All right.
Speaking of happiness, we'll move on to our best music category. So this is kind of, for me at least, more focused on indie games than I guess the bigger AAA games. Like, you've got things like Fallout, who had a great radio soundtrack, but it wasn't really the big focus point of the game. Where some of the other games that I've seen and played really have a deep setting within the music that it's matched with.
Most definitely.
So I'll start off with mine, and then we can talk about yours.
Okay.
Going back to most of the indie stuff that I've got on my list, I've got four on mine. Yes, I know.
Oh my goodness.
I know. So we have Undertale.
Yep.
Which has got a lot of mix of different genres of music. I mean, obviously it's a lot of the same chiptune-y type of stuff, but the amount of variety in the tracks are amazing. Like, you've got happy, fun, uplifting stuff, and then in the same, you know, section, you've got mournful, sad tones that really shapes your mood on the game, which I thought.
And they do hit you. They hit you hard.
Yeah, the whole, oh, this person's gonna die if you don't save them, and you know, do you choose to just end this person's life? And like, the background music just really gets you, and you're like, this is like pixel art, you know, top downy game.
Why is it doing this to me? Yeah,
I'm playing with my soul, you know.
Oh, diddums. No.
Your music is playing with my soul as I play with my soul. Yeah.
Oh, terrible. Don't refer to that as your soul.
No.
This is super bad.
Wow, that's it's terrible. I already call it my soul. It's grabbing hold of my soul.
Oh.
dick jokes all the way.
That's right. We're adults.
So I think the best part about Undertale's music is it made me feel things. Which is unheard of, I guess, with most of the other games that came out.
And with how manly we are.
Yes, manly, and made me feel things. Only manly men feel.
Oh, do they?
Yep, unfortunately.
I thought it had to be as, like, swift as a coursing river.
No. And you have to feel like a great typhoon. I don't know.
Just to smash things?
Yeah, just Hulk smash. Yeah, that's all you have to do. If Avengers taught anything,
I feel good.
You have to smash. Moving on from feelings to just generally being awesome, I put down Hacknet, it's a really good game that actually taught me a few things about coding.
That's right, you big nerd.
Yeah, I know. I'm a huge nerd. Like, using command prompt features and stuff that I ended up using for work, I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know, you know, /ls displayed the file system in this folder. Cool. Thanks, Hacknet. But,
you're welcome, Koshi.
Yeah, thanks. And to top it all off, the music of it is amazing. Like, it's got all these, the same kind of style as Undertale, where it's got the backing tracks are like techno-y electro music. I don't know how to describe music. I'm terrible with that. I'm just like, it's techno. It's electro. That's it.
I feel your pain. I'm just like, is it T-Swizzle?
Yeah.
Is it Tay-Tay?
Or is it electro?
Or is
it metal? Yeah, that's
metal.
It.
Metal, just, techno, and Tay-Tay.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's a Facebook group waiting to happen.
Oh, we'll create it right after this.
Yeah, perfect. If you want to join our electro, metal, and Tay-Tay group, you can find us.
I stay up too late.
Yep. Yeah. That was our intro theme.
That was
I think the amount of style that it has in it is very hacky, cracker type of music, where it You have this just nice backing track. Mm. And it really provides in intense moments of when you're doing the hacking into someone's computer and like, you've got the beeping and the timer going off in the background and then you've got this like heavy bass line going through as well. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Oh, this is so cool. Then you get in to the system, like 2 seconds to go, of course. And you're like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And you're just like, I'm the best hacker that's ever lived.
I am Elite Hacksaws, bro.
Have you seen Hackers?
Yes, of course I have.
Yeah, that's what I always imagine it's going to be like, which is why I did, like, I'm like, yes, this is on my, this is on my, on my list now.
That's perfect. Going over other things that make me feel good. Rocket League, I think coming back to it has a great soundtrack.
Yes, it does.
It's all hoppy and boppy and makes you feel good. Unfortunately, it's not really in the game. It's more in the menus.
In the intro, yeah, yeah.
Which is annoying.
But it's good, though, because you want to concentrate on your, I guess, game rather than... Actually, I wouldn't mind, like, cruising down and killing other people in my car while, like, listening to how, like, beautiful the sunset is.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't say that. Maybe fix that, guys.
Yeah, but, maybe put that in. If you're listening, Psyonix.
It psychs you up, though. It's not even, like, football or soccer related. It's just, like...
Get you in the mood.
Boom, boom. Yeah, it's just it psychs you, and that's what I liked.
Yeah, exactly. And it just gets you up to blow up other people in cars.
Yeah, very much so. It's brilliant.
And another one that I thought was amazing was another indie game called Assault Android Cactus. Yeah, it's a local co-op isometric arena shooter. I guess is the best. It's kind of twin stick shooter. Where you cooperatively just kill waves and waves of enemies, collect battery charge to progress then to the next area, basically. The way the music is in the background is just so thump heavy and it just, it's so upbeat. It just keeps you going and you just like turn the music up to 11, turn the sounds like just a little bit down kind of, and you just listen to it as you, and like three other people in your area just like, fight off the waves and waves of enemies. It feels really, really good. But yeah, so I think it's one of those upbeat feelings. Like Rocket League, it just really gets you into the mood to like shoot stuff in the face. Yeah. What about yourself?
Okay, so I've only got three. And that's... It's Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Oh, yeah. Was that released this year?
I believe it was. Like, it was formally released this year. I know it was in beta,
April.
I believe.
April was released on Windows. Yep.
So, Crypt of the Necrodancer, just as like, I feel like it's a very techno and chiptune-y kind of year, and I loved it. There are two soundtracks I downloaded, or three actually, I've downloaded for this year. It's Crypt of the Necrodancer, Fallout 4, and Rocket League.
Yep.
And those are my top three choices. And Crypt of the Necrodancer just sort of, it gets you in the mood. You're like slamming the keyboard. You're like just up, down, up, left, right. And you just...
Well, you're not using the dance pad?
No, because I live in a tiny room. I'm like Harry Potter. I've got like the stairwell kind of thing. So everything's kept to a minimum.
Perfect. Minimalistic. I love it.
It's how I roll. But it's... Honestly, it just gets you going. And yeah, there's a lot of repetition when you're repeating levels, but that's not what we're focusing about. We're focusing about the music and how it makes you feel. And I'm like slamming my head, just sort of really digging it. Yeah, I'm getting into it. It just psyched me up. But then I guess on that other psych up note, as we've already discussed before, was Rocket League. And this is music that I can genuinely say I am not into. If someone was like, here, listen to this, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's all right. But the way that it makes you feel and the way that you just want to, you want to get in the game, you want to do your best and just have fun. That's it did a fantastic job. But with Fallout 4, I felt that, how do I say it? You said that the radio station wasn't a big deal, but to me it was a huge deal.
Okay.
And
like listen to classical music as you blow people's heads off?
Not even. I was listening to Diamond City Radio.
Of course you were.
It was just like, it was the wonder. It was, some call me crazy. It was just these old school, lovely songs, and they just, or like Barry the Chopper, I think it was, and it was so much fun. I'm just like hacking and whacking and sacking or whatever it is, my way through the wasteland.
Yeah,
and just having a blast while listening to it. It was just so much fun. I was listening to it at work. It's the all three soundtracks I'm just jamming out to 24/7.
Yep, just put it on the background playlist.
Exactly. And to just enjoy it for what it was. That was a high. That's a high for me in Fallout 4. And
yeah, we just talked about it, you know, for 10 minutes or whatever, about how disappointing
it was.
Yeah,
I'm ragging about it. The
good. Yeah, like, it's one of those high extremes.
It made me feel like I was in the world.
Yeah.
And so I'm super keen by that, even though it doesn't make sense because we're technically in the future. But
oh, man, I could listen to more of that now. Damn it.
I know. Isn't it great?
Mm-hmm, it's my Friday.
But there's... That's right, ladies.
Yep.
Ooh. it was neat. It was everything I wanted it to be. So I just loved it. So good job, Bethesda, on your music choices.
Yep. Pity about the city building.
Pity about everything else.
Everything else, yeah.
Not everything
else. The shooting was pretty good.
That was good, actually. They improved that. That's why I said 3.1 before.
Wow.
All on it. So what did you feel was your best music choice?
I think for me, the best music choice would probably be Hacknet. I think it really fit the theme
of
the hacker. Like you just think that's what someone would be listening to if they were hacking and cracking into something.
Right.
These upbeat techno beats and things like that.
Yeah, getting into the zone.
And yeah, it gets you into the zone and you want to listen to it. It really immerses you in the feeling of it.
Right.
And yeah, the amount of tunes that were on there for the indie game to be released is amazing. You know, as you said, with the Fallout soundtrack, you've got to play in the background. Like, I have that. I've got a video game OST YouTube playlist that I just run through, and it's...
Yeah.
And that was what, you know, started that. I was like, oh, man.
Right.
Video game music is good.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, it's... We talked about this earlier outside of the podcast, and it was that it's very hard to realize good music.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a million other games that we love the music of, but we just didn't recognize it. Because it makes you feel like you're in the world. It makes you feel like you're doing, like, whatever you're doing for a reason. And it's very easy to find out bad music, because bad music will take you out right away. But with these games, and I'm sure, once again, with many others, they did a grand damn good job. So, yeah, it's just fantastic. I guess for me, though, to hijack it, it's Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was just...
One of those games that just got you into the feeling of it.
But it got you into the rhythm. It got you into, like, you just felt it. And
the game is literally the rhythm.
It is. It's a rhythm-based game. And it's just... But that's so good. That's what's so good about it, is that you're like, bam, right away. Within seconds, you're already, like, slamming the keyboard and doing what you need to do in order to go through the dungeons and kill your monster mates and whatnot. But that was my choice. I just feel like it was... Like, I wish you could see me, because I'm just, like, just clenching my fists and just getting really into it. It's just, I want to listen to it after this. Like, that's how much I'm digging it.
I think I need to add that to the podcast. I mean, my playlist, because it's one of those games where I didn't actually play it. Because I didn't even know it was released in 2015.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of just stumbled across it in the Steam curator or whatever. And it was like, oh, yeah, I'll give it a crack. It's super cheap. Do yourself a favor, guys. Buy it. It's a fantastic game. Super delightful.
Get the visually dance pad. Everything.
Yeah.
Fail at it. Rage quit.
Get a bit sweaty.
Get a bit sweaty. I'm in Brisbane, so I'll get sweaty nonetheless. I just have to get the dance pad out, and I'll be sweaty already.
Oh, just slip and slide all over that
pathway. Yeah, it won't be a dance pad. It'll be
break dancing.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know how to do them head spins and
sweet
stuff.
Dance moves.
Yeah. The ladies be like, woo,
look at this boy, this b-boy, this fly girl. They be like, I'm a man.
With their moves. Like
dead moves.
All right. I think, well, unfortunately, we haven't played each other's games, so it's been hard to tell.
So Rocket League wins.
No, we can't give it all to Rocket League. Rocket League can't win everything. So I think this one will be a joint reward. To both Hacknet and Crypt of the Necrodancer. Both games, you know, really getting you into the feel of their respective genre of games. One being a rhythm game, one being, I guess, I don't know, a new genre of game, like a hacking game, I guess. It not really heard of, I guess.
It's becoming a bigger thing.
It is, and I hope it does get a good genre base and is not just hit by indies, because previously it's been a mini game.
Maybe Deus Ex will take it up.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I don't know. I'm excited.
You've called it. You know, first call of 2016.
This is it. It won't do hacking, it, but...
Hacking in Deus Ex.
I didn't ask for this. My firewall thing.
Gravelly man voice.
Oh my god. Mm. So manly.
So we're going to have to award a joint reward here. One for me being Hacknet, and one for Jason for Crypt of the Network Dancer.
Yes.
Yay.
Say Network Dancer?
Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Right.
It's like you're getting, I was too busy thinking about Hacknet. Yeah.
It's yeah, the yeah. Network Dancer. Like, geez Louise, calm it down.
So we'll put some mad drops. Yeah. No. I don't have a witty award for best music. So, unfortunately, it's just best music too. Yay. Hacknet and Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Hey, I can handle this.
Quickly, before we get into the top five of our games, which will probably just repeat half the stuff that we just talked about, the one that got away award for a game that we wish we played more in 2015, I've got a few of these for, I guess, a lot of them being different reasons, be them time or that I'm a scaredy baby, you know. So I've got four, one that I actually did play, but I know I didn't play enough of.
Yep.
Which was Bloodborne.
Yes.
Now, it's, you know, I'm a big fan of the Dark Souls series. I really want to get into Dark Souls 3 as much as possible. I played basically almost exclusively at EBX. That's all I played, was just Dark Souls 3, running the same thing over and over again.
It's a bit sad.
But... Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. But there was no line. It was like no one was playing it. I was like, look, I could beat the boss. I could beat the boss. Yeah.
Huh.
At PAX, it was huge. At EBX, there was like two people deep, and I just wait 10 minutes, and they go, oh, I died. I'm like, okay, cool, thanks. I just played for 30 minutes, not die. And I'm like...
Oh, whoa, good job.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'd run it so many times. And so some dude tries to beat the boss, and he dies at the boss fight. And I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, you want me to have a go? He's like, yeah, sure. I was like, oh, I'll just use your dude, don't worry about it. Run in and be like, I beat it. He's like, you're serious? I'm like, I'm sorry, I've played it like 7 times.
I feel like that's the greatest insult.
Yeah.
Like, I'll use your character to beat the character that, or the boss that you couldn't beat.
Get past where you couldn't get past. Yeah. And just, like, look at them with a smug grin on your face, like...
And, like, throw a cigarette in his eye.
Yeah.
Just quickly light one up and go...
Yeah. Like, I'm badass. Deal with it, Sonny's come down.
Oh, my God.
Moving...
All the memes.
All the memes. Onto Bloodborne. Now, it's a game that I really wanted to pick up, but I guess I just couldn't... handle the time and dedication to get into the new combat system. It's so much faster, and it's so much more hardcore, I guess. I don't know. It's the visceral combat of, like, the blood and getting killed in, like, 3 shots is ridiculous.
Visually, it's noisy as hell.
Oh, yeah. Like, that whole olden Victorian era setting is really, really nice. I got through the first 2 bosses before I gave up. And I was like, I need a weekend to play this. I just need to sit down and just chill out. And I just didn't have the time.
Shame.
So that's 2016 for me. I mean, I don't really dabble in console too much. I'm more PC exclusive to a degree.
Yep.
But it's one of those games where I'm like, no, I'm going to buy a PS4.
I'm going to put in the effort. Form. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's one of mine. Another one is probably on a lot of people's lists of what they didn't get to play, unless they were diehard fans, was Witcher 3.
Oh.
I haven't finished Witcher 2, so I didn't want to start myself into Witcher 3.
Oh, because of all those plot holes.
Yeah, I don't know about it. I'm just like, oh, he's a big, sexy, grey-haired man.
Damn right he is.
He swings his sword. Oh, his diamond sword. He swings that around. Anyway, so in such a story-heavy game that people are praising to the sun, the fact that people jumping into Witcher 3 and going, yeah, it's great, but you kind of need to play Witcher 2. I'm like, well, that means I've got to play 60 hours of game. And I just can't put myself through that
right now. I getcha. Yeah.
So hopefully, January, February area is kind of a quieter period for the games, genres and whatnot. So hopefully I can get myself stuck into Witcher 3.
Yeah, usually it is. I'm sorry to sort of sidetrack this, but there are a lot of great games coming out in January or February. And that's, what do you call it? You've got Deus Ex, you've got XCOM, and you have Tomb Raider.
Oh, shit.
So good luck to you.
I'm never going to play Witcher 3 then.
He's never
going to
play it. Yeah. I'll spoiler it for you later.
Does he swing his sword?
So high, so low.
Mm. Is he still a sexy grey head man?
Sexier.
Mm, perfect.
That definition. Damn.
He can grow a beard this time, unlike you.
It challenges my sexuality.
Yeah, that's good.
We move on.
You spoke so highly of Splatoon as your biggest surprise, but unfortunately I never got the chance to play it.
It's
one of those things where I'm like, I'd want to play it and I want to dedicate time to it, but it's on the Wii. I'm like,
mm.
I have to go out and sit on the couch and I just couldn't be bothered paying $60 for it. And that's what happened with a lot of Wii U games, I think. If it's not Smash Brothers and it's not Mario Kart,
then why bother?
Then at the moment, I'm like, why would I spend $60 on this game?
Yep. I totally get that.
Highly of it. I'm like, oh,
give it a shot, man. It's totally so worth it.
And last one quickly is Soma. I've watched Let's Plays on it. I know how it works. I know how the game feels, but it's totally different when you're playing it by yourself.
Very much so.
I think I don't play horror games. I'm just a scaredy cat. So I think that it's just something that I wouldn't be able to play by myself without crying like a little bitch.
And you will.
And I probably will, yeah.
Speaking of someone that is playing it, holy smokes. It is.
So
everything.
You're playing it at the moment.
I am.
Are you pooping in your panties?
My chill will come later for that. But it's fantastic. It's so fun. It's fun in the bad way where I'm just like constantly scared and you can lean around corners. It's like Amnesia.
Yep.
In that regard, I think it's by the same guys too.
Yes. It
but
is.
Holy smokes! What a way to suck you into a world.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you dread one enemy, and then a new enemy comes up, and you're like, well, fuck me. This is 10 times worse.
Yep.
Yeah. If you ever get the courage, or, if you know, the liquid courage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably need some liquid, I think.
Get that Bundy into you. Yeah. It's just...
Bloody Queenslanders.
Yeah. Oh, truth, yeah. Mate.
Mate.
But yeah, it's fantastic. Give it a shot.
Definitely. I think so. I think it's something that I definitely need to play. What about yourself? Okay. Like, you've missed probably a few games here
I've
and
missed
there.
Many games, to be honest with you. But I've only got two that I really wish I played. And the first one being Undertale.
Yes.
So the reason why I didn't play Undertale was because everyone else is talking about it.
Yeah.
Everyone else is saying, oh, it's amazing. You got to play this. It's just the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, but at the same time, I feel like it's homework for like my nerd
just
cred.
Just check it off the list. Get the
next
check.
Yeah. And so I've watched a playthrough of it and I absolutely adored it, but I still want to play it.
Yeah. Like making your own decisions each way and every way.
Yeah.
Playing a completely pacifist run.
Not
getting
even.
Genocide runs, you know.
Just genocide all the time.
Kill everything. Yep.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
with a vengeance. Slightly vindicative also.
I can't help it. It's all that sarcasm. It shaped me. It's molded me.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I'd love to play for myself, but I think I need to dedicate a lot of time to it, and I need to be in the right mood to play it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of got to sit around and slowly progress through the story.
Yes.
Really feel, I guess, each moment of it and each impactful moment. If you're just like, next.
If you're just going through the motions, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. You know,
but
getting into
speaking,
the characters. Yeah.
Speaking of stories,
mm-hmm.
the second game, great segue here, is Her Story.
Oh, is this the one about the murder?
Yes,
thing?
It is. The one about the, you're essentially a policeman doing policeman things and taking videos of this lady trying to discuss the murder of, I believe it's her husband. And what a fantastic concept. What a cool thing
it's
to be the police officer.
Too.
Yes, it is. And the way that they do the video, the way they do the desktop background, the searching, it sounds like so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the story is so rewarding that I'd be mad not to play it.
Yep.
So that's something I'm definitely going to be dedicating some time to this year.
Mm-hmm.
once again, I'm sort of in your boat and mm-hmm. shoes, where I don't have the time, given that everything is coming up. But I want to make time for this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't have to dedicate that much money to it. It's you know, you spend $10 or whatever, but the amount of dedication that you have to put in to do it, like, you have to get that reward from it as well.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, so it's I'm just looking at it now, and it does look interesting, like the whole old in recording style.
Yes, and it has that vibe and feeling to it that a lot of other games I don't think I've ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
In such a combined way. So I guess what we're both going to be saying here is that there isn't any one winner.
No, it's there, a lot of things where we're longing to play a lot of them because there's just not enough time to play all the games. But what would you, out of the games that we talked about with this one, what would you most suggest somebody play?
Oh, based on my gut? My good.
Yeah, if someone gave you those five games, or six games, and said, you need to play one of these, Tim. Which, I don't know.
Bloody Tim.
Tim, you need to play one of these games. Like, what would you kind of say to them? Like, which one would you want them to play?
Wow.
I think that's probably the best way to get that award.
You're just calling me out here. I think definitely not The Witcher 3.
No.
But
if you're into the story and you really want to get into it, it's really good.
I feel like there's a lot of prerequisites for that.
Yeah, and I think the same for Bloodborne as well. Like, you really need to get into the combat. You need to be like, all right, time to get hardcore, motherfucker, you know?
And you need to know what you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I would say Her Story.
Yep.
I feel like that has a lot of charm to it that a lot of people can get into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm grimacing just at the fact of thinking about playing it. So,
and just going through the motions of that
character. Yeah, most definitely. How about yourself? What are you thinking?
For me, as fun as Splatoon looks and feels with friends and whatnot, and as scary as, you know, and feel-wise Soma is, I think I need to give it to Undertale. Like, it's one of those games where you need to play it. Like, you need to sit down, you need to dedicate time to it, and you need to experience what actually completing a game without actually hurting anybody can do.
Right.
The way that the story works and the way that the game works, you know, you're like, oh man, I just killed that person.
But
maybe I can go back and maybe I can reload my previous save and save them. So you go out, you quit back in, and you walk up to them and you're like, okay, maybe I can act. They're like, you've been here before. You're trying to warn me of something?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you're like, holy, how do you know?
How do you know?
How do you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that I don't think it's ever been done in a game, but I might be going a bit too far there, but it's one of those things. It's a unique experience, I think. Mm. And it's one of those things where you're like, you know, the art style is unique. It's not as big as AAA type games, but the amount of love in it and the amount it makes you feel, I guess, is like something that not many people can miss, I guess.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with you. That's actually a really good way to describe I guess the beauty of it.
Yeah. And all coming from like that your main character is like a kid kind of as well. So you're looking after this person, you're guiding them through this world, either. And you're shaping them as well. Like, you're either shaping them to be a good person, you're helping everybody, or you know, you could put them to more, you know, raising them badly, killing everyone in your path, good or bad, like, not even caring, and just leaving them, like, a dead shell
and
inside.
It's on like you. Myself. It's Oh,
we'll go with those ones there. Yay, the Rats, one guys. That got away, kind of. Oh. But we're bringing it back.
We'll write about you in our journals.
Dear diary, killed a town of people. It felt wonderful.
So good.
And then I was interviewed about it. It was glorious.
They said I'm a murderer. I don't understand. Mummy said that I shouldn't kill people. Oh, that's what I'm assuming anyway.
Yes, of course. But I did it anyway.
I know. But onto an even better topic than murder.
The murder?
Our top fives!
Yay! let's not murder these ones, because these are the ones that we want to keep safe from harm.
We praise it like we should.
Praise it like the sun. And hopefully we agree, I guess, or if we don't agree, I can tell you that you're wrong, and then we can see how we go from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't really have an order for these games. It's really hard. Like, I've got...
I kind of do.
You have an order? Well, you start, and then I can maybe put together my my options from that.
I'm changing one and two already in my mind.
No, they're together, are they?
Yeah, but don't tell three. Okay. Okay, so my top five is The Beginner's Guide, Rocket League,
mm-hmm.
Until Dawn,
mm-hmm.
Layers of Fear. Yes, I know it's in beta, but it's fucking worth it.
Doesn't count.
It does count. Not it either. Does count. Excuse me, sir. No. No. This is my list. I'll yell at you in your list, but this is my list. And fifth, but definitely not last, King's Quest.
King's Quest. I haven't heard of that game.
Oh, it's the one by Sierra Games. It's like a sort of Telltale-ish in style. It's a puzzle, click and point kind of game.
Uh-huh.
But the story is fantastic, and the environment and the characters and the music, and just it makes you feel like you're part of this world. You really want to see what happens next. You want to take care of the townspeople and just be the best that you can be. Hmm. It's the voice acting is fantastic. The cameos are even better. It's just, it's, oh, humdinger.
It's That's all my things.
Yeah. It just makes me feel everything I need to feel. And so, and then some. It's nuts. But I guess what I should do is maybe I'll go up the list.
Yes. We've already started at number five. Up till one.
Okay. Okay. So secondly is Layers of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
This is four. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So Layers of Fear is a, I guess a walker kind of game where you're just exploring a house that's your own, except you're an asshole. You're a freaking dick. You like, you're mean to your wife, you're mean to your kid, like, but it's an abandoned house. And then all of a sudden, like, everything starts getting creepy. Everything starts getting scary as hell. Like, I was whimpering in this game. It took me... I was terrified. It was so good. It was this game that made me feel afraid. And it doesn't take a lot for me to get afraid. I'm the mayor of Babytown. And it's... No, it is. It's just I'm embarrassed about, like, how much I react to scary things.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have this game not only terrify me, but make me want to play more of it, mm-hmm. and make me, like, afraid of every single room. It's a haunted house, essentially.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to figure out what had happened and why you're so messed up. And it does it so well. And I can't wait until it's fully released. But that's number four.
Cool.
And so number three,
mm-hmm.
is Until Dawn. And
yeah, okay.
I'm not sure if you've played that. Oh, wow.
Again, I've watched a Let's Play of it. And I've definitely watched enough of it to know what's going on.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah. It's a game perspective.
So much negativity.
I don't know. Like, from a game perspective, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it.
What do you mean? What part of it isn't a game?
Like, I guess, like, saving all of the kiddies and what... Well, they're not kids, they're, like, old, but...
They're teens. They're meant to be teens.
They're meant to be teens, so they all look over 25.
Yes, most definitely.
Especially, what's her fuck... I can't never pronounce her last name. Hayden Panettiere, I think is what her last name is. If I got that right...
Sure.
Then that's
Email great. Us.
Sam. We'll just go with Sam. Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
So I think she's like 25 or whatever, but I think that the amount of gameplay in it for me puts me off a little bit. I did like obviously the settings, but a lot of the things didn't not necessarily make sense, but it they explain a situation to you. I guess spoilers. I don't know.
They spoon feed it to you.
Yeah, they do, but then there's so many plot holes in it where you, like, the dude's walking around a freaking lighter, right? And there's candles, yeah. And he's like, I can't see anything. And you've got a lighter, which should have been burned, should have, like, burned your hand within, like, the first 10 seconds, because that's what lighters
but it's
do.
It's a lighter.
Yeah.
Not really dirty.
Like, if you hold... Anyway. But there's candles that are ready to be lit. Oh, no, hang on. The fuel would have drained out with, like,
yes.
If you just held it for, like, ages.
I like that we're going back to this. The argument about the lighter in the video.
The lighter. It makes everything, because you're like, you've got candles that are, like, sitting there, and you're like, no, I won't light those. I'll just walk past them. They're not even interactive.
I agree. Anything. There are some parts, but that's like every game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's always an issue with any game. But for me personally, Until Dawn was another scary game where I didn't know what was happening,
mm-hmm.
and it went from a horror kind of axe-wielding crazy man to, and spoilers here, guys, so come on, it's the top five of 2015. You should have done this.
We're in 2016 now. No one cares about 2015.
I know. It's dead to us. Be gone.
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
What?
Da-da-da!
Done. Spoilers.
Done.
But the whole thing is, like, it becomes from this... You think it's one thing, and it twists and turns, and then it becomes a supernatural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know anything about this, it is so much fun. It just sucks you into this world. You become invested into every character, even if they're utter douchebags.
Yeah.
You start rooting for characters that you hate at the beginning. And that is a good game.
What, rooting for them to die?
No, to live, to survive.
Emily can go eat a dick.
But actually, yeah, she's pretty rubbish.
She's
but, like,
pretty terrible. But I think you're meant to hate that character. And I do like parts of the game. Like, I do like that they have certain characters that portray certain tropes that you like.
But that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be like,
fuck him.
It's meant to be a campy horror game.
It is. And then it takes a turn about, you know, three chapters in. And you're like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? But
it's good.
It's a good experience. I don't know about game. I think,
it's
again, the Liquid Courage would help, similarly to Soma, if I had a few friends over and we're all like, instead of a game movie marathon, we just go all the way through Until Dawn and like
play it,
and then like each person has a go at it, playing the different characters or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a better experience because everyone's like into it.
Responsible
playing it
for
by yourself.
Own.
You're like,
yeah.
Especially if you're good, not necessarily good at video games, but if you've definitely got a grasp on QuickTime events, they're done to death. And they have consequences,
and
people die. Like, that sucks. But
that's cool, though.
If
that
you're good
so
at QuickTime
cool.
events, there's so
but
much
that's
stuff
on you.
You
that's,
can get out of.
But that blood is on your hands. If you screw up and someone dies, that's on you.
Yeah.
You die. That's it's good.
Yeah, and the consequences, it doesn't pull any punches with that kind of stuff. Like, it's not an M-rated game.
Super
it doesn't,
gory.
It doesn't, like, flick out off camera as you know someone's going to die, but it doesn't. It
you
shows
it.
You. Fucking, like,
yeah.
They get crushed in between two grinders, and you're like,
yes,
you
that's
to see
what I was
going to
bring up. Or, like, pierce through meat hooks, or it's just, it's good. It's good.
It's really, really visceral. Like, it really gets the blood pumping. But, yeah, as I said, good experience. Game, QuickTime events as a gameplay mechanic, just I don't like them.
That's fair. But on to number two, Rocket League.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked enough about it, really.
Yeah.
But
it's so good.
Isn't it fantastic? That's the game I play when I'm feeling sick, and I'm just like, I'm just going to play a bit of Rocket League. It's going to be fine.
Fiddle down in the dumps.
It psychs you up. You get the adrenaline pumping. Mm-hmm. If you're sad like me, it's just you're clenched. I remember like just sort of like cheering when I made a goal.
Yep,
I was so happy. And to get that feeling out of what is essentially a sports game, is great. But we've talked enough about Rocket League.
It's good. We know it's good.
We know it's good. We've given it. I would have given it more awards, but that's just me.
Number one.
Number one, The Beginner's Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
This is controversial, I think, as well.
Really?
To me,
why?
I think
because
that's...
it's fantastic and you can't understand.
Are you going to just put on hipster glasses now, or are you going to do it in about 3 minutes?
Yes, they're on my face. I'm visually impaired. Thank you for bringing it up.
So am I.
Son of a gun. So with the beginner's guide, I honestly went into this with very little expectations.
Yeah.
I knew it was by the fellow that wrote and I believe designed the Stanley Parable.
Correct.
And when I'm going in, I was like, oh, it's just a little dumb little game about this guy's friend who made video games. And you're playing it more and more and more, and you just, it doesn't make sense, but it kind of does. And he's telling you there's a link. And then it hits you. Mm. And you see the progression, and you see this guy who is really, by the end of it, so incredibly tortured. And honestly, I finished it in a day. Less than a day. It took me like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Three, if that. And
yeah, it's not a long game.
No, it isn't, by any stretch of the imagination. And when I finished it, I just put down my controller and I just left my room. And I just needed to think. And like I after like an hour or two, I went back onto my computer and I started Googling about who Coda is and if he's okay and if there's been any communication and just trying to find this extra story.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly just made me feel so many things.
It's a very feels-intensive game.
It is, and it just hits you hard.
Experience.
It sucker punches you. You just don't know that it's going to happen. And I loved it because of that. It's not something I'm ever going to spoil. Watch it on my YouTube channel. But
What is that YouTube channel again?
Oh, it doesn't have a link, really, because I don't have enough subscribers. But we'll shill that out later. So it's the way that it just makes you feel is so rewarding at the end. And it really makes you view yourself in a different light as to how you respect family, friends, what you do with your life. And I adored it because of that. Absolutely adored it. Mm. So congratulations to the beginner's guide, as far as I'm concerned. You've won for me.
For you.
For me. And for Koshi.
Yeah, not for me. No, I'm more of a shell of a person, so I don't really care about feelings. And
did you play it?
Yes, I got about halfway through it and gave up because it was boring.
Not even, yep. Not even.
Yep,
Hang on.
Let me have a look.
What did you get up to?
Hang on, I want to see how much time I put into it in Beginner's Guide. I played 36 minutes and got bored.
Oh my god, you didn't even play the bloody thing.
Yeah, I know, and I got bored.
Yeah, because it's a slow burn.
I know, but it's so slow. I've played Persona 4. Like, I know what a slow burn is. Yep. Like a 4 hour slow burn before it gets good.
Look, I've played Persona 4 5 times.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, you know how slow that first burn is, right? You're just like, yeah, it's just so boring. And so, like, I got through it, like, beginner's guide. From that recommendation, I guess I'll pick it up again and finish.
Please
it,
because
it's only like a 2 hour game.
Like, exactly.
Experience. But I guess it goes through the same puzzle over and over again, and, you know, it gives you more information about this person, whoever he is, if he's even real, you know.
I hope he's real, otherwise I'm going to get real mad.
Well, that's the thing. It's not...
it's not confirmed, which is the worst
confirmed.
Part.
Confirmed. You know, you don't know if it is this Coda person, if it is... what's his freaking name? Davey Warden, I think his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know if it's him reflecting on himself. You don't know if it's just something that he felt like making up. If he is taking these assets from this Coda person and then releasing a game on it, people are giving money for it. Like, there's that.
That's a douche move.
It's interesting, but like it feels like a douche move. Like, I feel weird about giving him money for something, you know, giving him $10 for something that he
someone else's work
just narrated over someone else's work that you explore. So, like, to me, I'm like, oh well, you know, I could have refunded this on Steam, but I didn't because it was $10. I didn't care. But it's, to me, it just felt really mundane, and it's like he slowly explains about how this light post is this thing, and this other thing is a thing, and I'm like, yep, they're things.
It's really symbolic.
Yeah, and to me, I'm just like, this is mundane. It's boring.
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
I think maybe eventually if I get
through
it all...
But...
Yeah. You're wrong, but... I think if
you're
I get
wrong,
through
but
it,
I respect your opinion.
I might see it a different way, but it's just boring. I just don't see how people can put this as, like, the best game of 2015 when Rocket League's on the table.
That's why it's number two.
Yeah.
But what about you? What? Tell me your list.
Okay.
And then I'll critique your shitty
decision. You can critique me,
decision.
Like... Yeah, because Beginner's Guide is nowhere near the top five.
How dare you, sir?
It's
how dare
like,
you?
Could even put that on the most disappointing list. Oh, that went there.
Oh!
So...
Now I'm mean.
Yeah, I get mad. Get a little bit of salt there.
Some salt.
We'll start off in the fifth position for me. I think, based on the story games going forward, not necessarily indie, but Life is Strange. I thought it was a really good story game. The ending I didn't like, but the exploration of the characters I thought was really good. And the way that you can change how they react was really nice.
Yeah, like the Beginner's Guide. Sorry, how do you?
So I think it's similar to the Beginner's Guide. It does have that slow burn at the start, and it does have the ups and downs of the first episode isn't very good, and then it gets to the second and third episode, and it hits like this peak point where it slowly gets better. I think the fourth episode, once you get to it, is like the pinnacle of it, and then it drops off kind of in the fifth episode. So it's like anticlimactic almost.
I have heard that.
But there are feel-intensive moments in the game. As I said, I'm a bit of a shell of a person, so I didn't feel it as much as some people did. But I think I understood where the people's sentiments were coming from. Unlike the Beginner's Guide. I don't know what they're talking about with that
one. Excuse me.
Yeah.
two people can do this.
No, we can't. It's only me.
Oh, my bad. Hold on.
Go on. Tell me more.
Yeah, so I think from a story point of view, it's good. I don't think the gameplay section of it isn't as strong as other games that are in my list. But for the story element that's there, I think it's a nice payoff to get through. And legitimately feel intensive moments when you find out that this person does this and you're like, oh my God, what? And then... the feeling of getting to a cliffhanger in a story and then realizing the next episode's not out yet. And you're fuck, just let me know what happens.
That's the problem with episodic though.
Yeah, and if you can feel like that in a game, then it's worth being on a top five list. Like they spoon feed you it and you're like, just give me more now. But yeah, so that's why it's number five. Number four is Fallout 4. I know we did talk about how disappointing it was. It
really
is. I think for
it's
world,
not a great game.
It's one of those weird ones.
Pitch it.
Like we did complain about it in the disappointing fashion, but I think as you said with the music of the game, bringing in like ties with the combat, the improved VAT system, the companions, and exploring all of their stories. I think the writing. That was separate to the main story was fairly good. Exploring people's minds, like exploring Kellogg's mind about how he grew up and like why he became such a dickhead, like is really interesting. Going to sub stories like and that, I completely disregarded the settlements. I'm like, that is just Sims with a shitty UI. Yeah. I'm not going to touch it. So that was a big chunk of the game that I missed, which I'm happy for.
That's their addition.
Yeah.
To Fallout 3. You know what I mean? Like, the combat's a little bit better, and there's Civ.
Yeah, and there's,
Civ. It's just,
that's exactly right. But I think that the things that it does that's not Fallout 3.1, if it's just, it's Fallout 4, they do it really well, and I think it's still a contender for, not necessarily a top three, but it's definitely a contender to be a really good game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I appreciate where you're coming from. Once again, it's a personal taste kind of thing. I just personally I disagree
as well.
With
like
you.
You've got your extreme bads, and then you've got your extreme goods in sections of the
and
game.
Just the the highs outweigh the lows.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why Fallout 4 is number four and not anywhere higher up the list, because screw that.
Ironically.
Mm. Nice, and it just fits nicely in its own little niche there.
It's a little niche.
Number three for me is Undertale. We've already talked about it enough. It's the game that I'd recommend to play if you want story. You want a feels game. That's for me. Undertale, and being able to play it however you like is also a good deal. Like running away from fights and whatnot is something that you can do. Which is and really it's rewarded. Unseen. Yeah, you get rewarded for that fact as well, which is really cool. And also, there's puns in it, which is just, you know,
it's my jam.
There's a skeleton dude, and he's like, "Oh man, I've been working to the bone," and then he like looks at the screen and winks, like, "There's a badum tish," and you're like, "Oh my god." Game of the year.
Yes.
Yeah. So good. That's why it's number three. I think Undertale is definitely better than Fallout 4. just based on the story and the way that made me feel. Because Fallout 4 didn't make me feel. And it's a big thing.
But they killed your wife and stole your baby.
Or the husband, whoever the partner is.
Is true. I'm just talking from my own personal experience.
Yeah, I play
your significant other. Yeah. Your SO, if you will.
Number two, moving on, is, I've already talked about it a bunch. That's why it's in the other awards, but Cities Skylines.
Right.
It just, for something to change the genre so much, I think, and being a new standard for city building games is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they did everything right. They've got workshop content. It's offline only. They've not really, they've restricted the size of the map enough so that it makes sense. And doesn't let you sprawl over the world, but it's expansive enough that you realize that, oh man, I'm getting close to like getting out my starting little square. I wonder if I can upgrade. And you reach like 50,000 citizens, and it's like, here's eight extra squares that you can do on top of what you've just been playing for the last 5 hours. And you're like,
right,
I can make a huge city, and I've just fucked up the first part of it. Start again.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to plan this out. There's going to be a grid here. And like, you spend 2 hours planning it, you know, so that you can, you can do it
and
all
you
again.
Care about that.
Yeah. If you care about it, if you don't care about building an awesome city, then it's obviously not for you.
Sorry, that was not sarcasm, but it was more just like, you have to care about it.
Yeah,
my tone exactly does not reflect my attitude. But, no,
that's exactly right. And it's a game that I want to pick up again. It's just one of those ones that you've got to dedicate time to it. Building out the city and making sure you go into tourism, or you go into like green energy or something. That you want to kind of role play as, and how you want to do the city. Which is
excellent.
Cool. Yeah, workshop content as well. I want to go back to it and explore the workshop content to see what people have actually made. And what they want to bring into the game to make it better.
Excellent.
And number one for me, there's no question for me, it's Rocket League. It's...
Hey!
I don't know how you can top it. It's so simple. We've talked about it so much. You know, it being an actual game is a good a good thing. Other than, you know, some other people's games of the years. But, you know, it's personal preference.
Everyone's allowed to make mistakes.
You know, they made their own game. They didn't steal it from anybody. But Rocket League, I think, is...
we're going to have words.
Yeah, we're going to have words. But I think it's one of those things that hasn't been replicated before, other than itself, other than its previous version. Like, no one thought Football and Rocket Cars was going to be a hit, and it released, and everyone just lost their absolute mind over it.
They've gone nuts for it. Yeah, I totally agree.
Psyonix have just released an amazing game, good soundtrack. They've been really good with DLC. They listened to the community to a degree. Whenever there was matchmaking issues, ranking issues, they were in the subreddits, like replying to people's comments and stuff. And the game the game was free on launch for Sony PSN Plus holders.
Okay.
Like, and that's when I picked it up originally. I was like, oh, this new game's coming out this month. Rocket League, cool, it's free. Holy crap.
Excellent.
$20 on Steam, bought it straight away.
It was a steal. It was genuinely a steal.
Yeah. And you compare that to the like $60 and $80 games that you're putting hours into, and I've put probably 5 or 6 times the amount of time into Rocket League than I have into something like Fallout. and Life is Strange and all the other games combined, I haven't put as much time combined to those as I put into Rocket League. And it's at 5 to 7 minutes match apiece. I've played a lot of Rocket League.
I can tell. 150 hours is nothing to mock.
No, no, not at all. Well, mock for the sadness of it all, really.
Yeah, but we'll do that outside.
Yeah, exactly. When I see the sunlight next.
Yeah, Too busy playing
Rocket League. But yeah, so that's my game of the year. Congratulations to Rocket League.
Yeah, congrats.
Sonix, you did an awesome job.
Really, and congratulations to everyone.
Yeah.
Except for most disappointing of all.
Yeah.
Everyone's done a fantastic job in their own rights. And Halo 5 and Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm.
But we don't just that. Well, we do.
Well,
but
hopefully it'll come back around in 2016. Is there anything like you're looking like forward to a lot? Like, is there anything that you're really looking forward to in 2016?
Yes. Actually, there is. There's, as I mentioned earlier,
it would be Tomb Raider in a couple of weeks.
Tomb Raider, which you have no idea.
Mm.
XCOM,
mm-hmm.
I loved the first one. It was just, it hit everything that I needed it to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Deus Ex, for some weird reason. I'm also looking forward to The Division. And that's something I want to talk about when it is released. But I'm so mad at that at the same time. So, yeah, that's it.
I think there's about
probably
the Division.
A ton of other games. I know, it's going to be rubbish.
Mm.
It's going to be absolute shite.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm totally looking forward to it.
That's good.
That's a game that I want to play. I want to play with my friends, and I want to like.
That game is already on my most disappointing list for 2016.
Yowza.
Yeah.
Someone's getting ready.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that. Anything else then that you'd like to put up on your anticipation list?
I think those are the four.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything else at the moment. I guarantee there's stuff that I'm missing that I'm going to beat myself up about after this.
In post, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just those are the four.
Hmm.
No, that's so good. How about you? What are you feeling?
Dark Souls 3 is my main contender. I really would just want that all in my face. They've learnt so much from Bloodborne. Like, playing it
yeah, of course.
At conventions, it's like Dark Souls has already been known as this really slow kind of methodical combat. Dark Souls 3 is like, oh, Bloodborne exists. That's right. Holy shit, we're getting faster now.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah.
So it's definitely good. Something that I want to look forward to. What else? That's kind of the only one I'm really thinking of.
Really?
Going into 2016. Obviously, Tomb Raider is coming in a few weeks.
Yeah,
Is definitely something that I'm looking forward to. But at the moment, it's pretty lackluster, I think, for me. Hoping things like VR and that come in to rejig
that'd
my
be fun.
Curiosity. But at the moment, $1,100, I could buy a whole new computer for that.
It's totally not worth it. Yeah.
But that's me. So
excellent.
That's our game of the year. We're done with 2015. That can go away. We're up to the new version now. Bright and shiny 2016. Hopefully with things that we
more
can
prime.
Play and be excited for.
Yes, most definitely.
But that can be a tale for another time during the week. It's all the time we have for on the Progress Bar podcast. Visit our website at progressbar.com.au. Join our conversation on Twitter at progressbarau and facebook.com/progressbarau. We'd like to keep things original. if listeners want to talk to you, Jason, if they want to find you, what's your content? Where can they talk to you?
Okay, well, they can talk to me, they can harass me, they can do whatever they want, hopefully in a more positive tone, at Twitter. It's more just like, hey, I've done this, but I'm trying to get into it. I'm a bit old school, so Twitter's quite new to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that is at Quinsjy, which is Q-U-I, N for November, C-J-Y. It's Quinsjy, because I can't spell Quincy right properly.
Quincy. No, it was taken, so just like, screw it, we'll put a J in there just for kicks.
It's a weird nickname I had, so I've stuck with it.
Cool.
But if you do want to find me on YouTube, which I hope you do, you can find me. Unfortunately, I don't have enough subscribers to make my own link, so any help would be greatly appreciated. But you can look me up on the YouTube.
You've got the attitude.
And that is my typing. I hope so, anyway. Hmm. I've got the sass. I'm a sassy white man.
Wow.
And that is, well, you could Google me. Maybe on YouTube, that's even better. And that is for Soma, Something Went Wrong. That is a game that I am currently playing. I have a whole bunch of other playlists on there that I'd love you to watch. and get your feedback on, because, you know, as Koshi said, I'm just starting out. So the better I, well, the more feedback I get, the better I get.
Perfect. And that's my, what we want to see.
My shell.
As long as you have the dedication to it, that's what we want to see. You can reach me at KoshiAU. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Bye. Bye. So excited.
Oh my god.
That I just can't hide it.
Oh no.
I feel like I'm going to lose control, but I think I want to. Like, I want to.
What?
I don't.
Fuck.